Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with me, Melissa Idris, Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani. It's 8:51 right now. The Edge Financial Daily has reported that Media Prima is not ruling out withdrawing its television channels from the free-to-air space. This is when Malaysia migrates to digital broadcast by the end of the year. Media Prima is saying that it regards the transmission fees charged by the digital terrestrial TV infrastructure operator as commercially unviable. And DTT, or digital terrestrial TV, is operated, or the infrastructure is operated by MyTV, which is controlled by Syed Mokhtar Al-Bukhari. Do they have, are their concerns legitimate here? I mean, is this an unviable DTT fee?
It is actually very expensive because apparently what is going to be charged by MyTV is about 25 million ringgit per annum, whereas right now Media Prima already pays 50 million per annum for transmission fees across all their platforms. So for the FTA alone, 25 million is going to be charged. And if they have some special broadcasts like an HD multicast, for instance, that transmission cost can actually go up to $73 million ringgit. That is quite a substantial portion of existing revenues and profits.
Yeah, you know, they're not going off air entirely. Consumers can still catch the four channels owned by Media Prima on Astro, Hip TV, and also online. And while we had the boss of MyTV, Datuk Kamal Khalid, on The Breakfast
the boss
Grill.
Of Media Prima.
Media Prima, sorry. Mm-hmm. And he was all in that Breakfast Grill, he was emphasizing on the need for Media Prima to focus more on the online strategy and their tonton.my business. And I think if this is now more than ever very important for Media Prima to rearrange their strategy and go big on online.
Actually, Tonton is one of the highest visited websites in Malaysia, so they have that backup strategy over there. But I think just to correct that a little bit, I don't think they have decided to go offline at all. They're just saying that all these other channels are available as alternatives. You know, they are ad on Astro, they have the Tonton, and they are touching, for want of a better word, this sounds very promo-ish, but they're touching the lives of a lot of people because a lot of the content is being used on Astro, on iFlix, Hip TV, and so on. If you watch a local vernacular movie, chances are that it would have come from a Media Prima production house. So the other question that is being raised is also the monopoly status of MyTV, whether the prices are being charged fairly and the inflationary aspects of it.
So this article by The Edge quotes an earlier interview they did with MyTV Chief Commercial Officer Haniza Ros Nasaruddin, and she said that the transmission fee is actually cheaper than the current one, considering that MyTV's infrastructure will provide coverage to almost 98% of homes compared to the about 55 to 95% coverage now that the analog format is giving. So they say if you think about in terms of percentage of coverage, technically it's cheaper. So they say that the HD transmission fee is at a discount when taking into account the broadcasts in this resolution requires three times the bandwidth of the regular SD channels. So that is the justification of MyTV for the exorbitant fees. Whether or not TV broadcast operators agree, I don't think so.
Yeah, so this is the big problem with monopoly, right? Because there's no recourse for or grievance for you to carry on. If a company like Media Prima, which is as big in the entertainment as possible they can think of in this country, can't even resolve their fee dispute, I don't think many of others stand a chance to go up against companies like MyTV or, you know, Syed Mokhtar Bukhari outright.
Actually, if you think about it, it's interesting that Media Prima themselves are a monopoly, almost a monopoly in the free-to-air channels, right?
Yeah.
They own almost all the private, if not all, the private TV stations in Malaysia. All the numbers you can think of, TV3 and TV7, 8TV, TV9, are all theirs. But if you look at their margins over the years, it is not reflective of a monopoly status type of company because they don't necessarily are in a position to exert their influence pricing wise, there is a lot of, I guess, alternative out there for advertisement. And with the growing online models everywhere, it's to an extent, you've got to be quite hard pressed to raise prices. But I don't know about the fact for MyTV, because that's the only provider,
yeah,
and they have an influence to exert.
Well, so what do you do then? MyTV says that, you know, the upfront investment to provide this infrastructure is huge. They've got a 15-year commission following this. So they're saying, well, the fees are actually, you know, at a discount, in fact, just to quote this article. What do you do when players are saying it's far too expensive for them to be commercially viable?
Yeah, and this is a problem for organizations like MyCC. They have to come in and investigate this, because, you know, they are mandated to actually combat monopolistic overtures. And I think we will see MyCC issuing a statement very soon.
Yeah, and I think the Syed Mokhtar's group is also known for a lot of the companies that they hold that have monopoly status. For example, Bernas, which is that rice import company. They own a lot of ports. And these are institutions or sectors in the Malaysian economy that should be subject to more competition so that the Malaysian economy can grow.
It's now 8:57. According to the Malaysian Reserve, PKNS, or the Selangor State Development Corp, is planning to invest 600 million ringgit into its new healthcare venture over the next 5 years. So PKNS right now, they've got 90% of their revenue coming from property, but they want to diversify that from non-property to about 40% over the next 5 to 10 years.
You know, 600 million in terms of investment is huge for PKNS. And while we had the General Manager Tuan Haji Azlan Alifia over on the Breakfast Grill, he did say that there is a need for them to diversify their property business. I think this is more of a question of healthcare business being extremely sexy and being lucrative rather than the property business being no longer lucrative. And one thing that has to be noted is that, you know, labour factor is still a big cost of concern, a big cause of concern. We know that cost of raw materials is on the rise. We know that there is a problem in terms of getting a labour market in, and healthcare might not have these kind of infringements.
I don't know if it's as sexy as you say it is, because hopefully there would be a kind of social program to this, and with the social programs, profit motivation is not always at the highest.
They want to build affordable hospitals. So we're not talking about high-end milking it for all it's worth kind of hospitals, but rather a social incentive, like
but
you say.
They can still earn extra margins from outright property sales, because they still own the land, they still are the landlord, and they are making more better use of the land by providing such services to the public.
Yeah, and that land that we speak of for this particular hospital, for instance, is the Selgate Corporation owned land, which is a PKNS subsidiary in Rawang. So these affordable hospitals will be built at first in Rawang. So, but I do understand what you mean, Julian. They are landowners. They can actually make use of that land for better use. Is healthcare the right way to do it?
Okay, so it's going to be a secondary level medical hospital, 200 beds in total. In total, starting hopefully by next year. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull on Sunday had declared a double dissolution election.
Yeah, so this election has been called because the government is having a big problem on deadlock at the lower house and the upper house. And what's so special about this election is that, you're right, Melissa, it's a double dissolve, double dissolution. And this is significant because this is the only occasion on which all senators face election at the same time. This election was called an expected motive. No one is not expecting this. But the Australian governments generally control large numbers of the lower house. They don't normally control the upper house. And Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, or should I call him the caretaker Prime Minister now, he wants to resolve this by just, you know, seeking a new mandate. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and Australia is, of course, at the crossroads because they are trying to diversify reliance on the mining sector. We saw in a recent budget that they're stating policies to do exactly that. Also, you know, some playing to the gallery by cutting taxes and saying that they want to reduce inequality.
Yeah, so they do want to. The budget was unveiled recently, right? So there was a lot of focus on creating jobs for Australians, really focusing on youth employment. helmet as well. That's a big concern, and it's one of the issues in this election.
Yeah, and revamping the tax regime. So I guess this is Bernie Sanders all over again, because the contention to Malcolm Turnbull is from the Labour Party, Bill Shorten. He is a former union chief, often described as being ambitious, and he wants to fight for the middle class and the working families. So this is in contrast with what Malcolm Turnbull is. He's a polished millionaire. He's a former banker. He has liberal views, including the support for gay marriages. So it really is battle of paradigms here.
I wonder to what extent feeling the burn would go to Australia, how it would influence voter turnouts over there.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.